Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 2 of week number 25, studying Matthew chapter 25. As we begin, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's get back into our study of Matthew chapter 25. At the very beginning of last week's study of Matthew 24, we emphasized the need to be cautious as we explained and interpreted the meaning and the timing of events addressed in that context. The most important reason why we introduced the need to be cautious as we read through Matthew 24 was this. Jesus himself, whose voice we read and hear throughout the chapter, repeatedly cautioned us about what we think, what we say, and how we act relative to the teachings of that chapter. Technically, it was the disciples that Jesus warned. As we read through the chapter, we observe that Jesus did so multiple times. Why so many warnings? First to the disciples, and then second to us as we read the message today. Jesus knew that after his departure, there would be many false prophets, many false teachers, and multiple pseudo-Christs that would oppose the truth, teach error, and in the process lose not only their own souls, but also the souls of those that they would impact. What Jesus taught in that chapter about the destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem, and his future coming would, because it was perceived as being against everything that the Mosaic law, the temple, and the city were all about, that what he taught about these coming events would be misunderstood, misinterpreted, rejected, denied, and refuted, and forcefully and passionately so, even to the extent of persecuting, even killing anyone who dared to teach contrary to what the common, the popular understanding of these things were. When Jesus taught in Matthew 24 about the certainty of the destruction of the temple and the future destruction of Jerusalem would be challenged, majorly challenged. And that's why the chapter contained so many warnings. Israel, in spite of their desire to seek God's will, missed who the Messiah was, what the Messiah was like, and what the Messiah came to do. Messiah did not come to keep everything about the Mosaic law in place. Messiah would fulfill the law and, in so doing, open the most holy place in the temple to all humanity. See, for example, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, and Hebrews chapter 10, verses 20 and 21. In light of the certainty of the destruction of the temple and the city of Jerusalem, Jesus taught the disciples the need to be faithful and to be strong, and to resist every challenge and every challenger that attempted to deny what Jesus taught in Matthew 24. That's why Matthew 24 closes with an admonition to be faithful. Because no one knows when the Lord will come again, it does no good to speculate endlessly about the timing of his return. It would be better then to focus on living righteously and faithfully every day. If we do so, when the Lord comes again, we will not only be prepared at that moment, we will have been perpetually prepared from now until the time of his return. And, commensurate with our ongoing state of preparation and righteousness, the Lord would be glorified that much more. Rather than trying to time and or predict his return, a hit-and-miss way of thinking, to say the least, if we are always faithful, then we will not miss being ready when Jesus really does return. The closing section of the chapter, Matthew 24, verses 45 through 51, emphasizes faithfulness to Christ by teaching what it means to be a faithful and wise servant. Servants were obviously required to serve, to do what the master of the household directed them to do. A faithful and wise servant fulfills the master's wishes, and in doing so, he or she will be blessed by their master. The master, when he comes and finds his servant doing what he expected him to do, will reward that servant and make him ruler over all his goods. Did the faithful and wise servant just happen to luck out by accidentally or coincidentally predicting the time of his master's return? No, not at all. There was nothing that he or she could do to know when his master's arrival would transpire. So, rather than guess the master's arrival date and then make things look good just in time to impress the master right before and then just as he came, the faithful and wise servant will do the master's will every day, and he will do so from the time he or she were directed to do so and continuing until the master returns. That's the positive side of being prepared on a daily basis for the master's return. But what about the negative side? That too appears in the context of the closing verses of Matthew 24. The servant, described in the chapter as an evil servant, who thinks or assumes, "My master is delaying his coming," and then, because of that assumption, takes advantage of the master's delay and mistreats others, engages in debauchery and intrigue and so forth, will be most surprised when the master returns unannounced. See verses 45 and following of Matthew 24. That unfaithful servant will be punished along with the hypocrites. That's the way that Matthew chapter 24 ends. And then, as Matthew chapter 25 begins, it continues the theme of preparedness that we see at the end of Matthew chapter 24, because there's no real chapter, verse, or thought breaks between these chapters. The illustration of the faithful versus unfaithful servant will be repeated in two more illustrations. First, the parable of the 10 virgins that we find at the very beginning of Matthew 25, and then second, the parable of the talents that we will read later in the chapter. Those three illustrations of preparedness, Matthew often presents teachings, illustrations, and parables in series of three, those three illustrations of preparedness are prelude to the judgment scene depicted later in the chapter. In that scene, the Lord separates the righteous from the unrighteous, but not just because of the general lesson of preparedness that we have observed in the three illustrations or parables just presented, but rather, the Lord separated the righteous from the unrighteous because of the kind of preparedness that God desired and that God expected, and because only the righteous chose to follow what God wanted. Yes, God wanted servants to serve their masters well. And yes, God would certainly want the virgins to be prepared before the bridegroom comes. And yes, God also wants fiscal, that is, financial responsibility in all things. But those illustrations and parables, powerful as they are simply the vehicles to teach greater lessons than the surface meanings of service, preparation, and fiscal responsibility. The lessons in these three illustrations and parables: genuine watchfulness and constant preparation for spiritual things was what the Lord wanted, not pretentious hypocrisy. That's the message of the faithful versus unfaithful servants at the end of Matthew 24. They were not watching faithfully for the master, and their failure to do so parallels those who were just as unprepared for the coming of the Son of Man. Here, in this first illustration, this principle appears first. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Matthew 24, verse 44. That same message was repeated in the parable of the virgins, but with a distinct difference. The five virgins with insufficient oil to last through the night were not hypocrites. They were, though, just as unprepared as the unfaithful servant was earlier. The unfaithful servant was willingly and hypocritically, dishonestly unprepared. These virgins, though unlike the unfaithful servants who were intentionally and willfully unprepared and thus lost, were still lost just the same. Though the words of Matthew 25:12 are harsh, "I do not know you," these five virgins did not remember the constant principle taught throughout Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. It's restated by Jesus in the following verse, "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming," Matthew 25, verse 13. The parable of the talents reiterates the same message of preparedness, but it does so with an emphasis on being aggressively prepared rather than just being prepared. The master who left huge sums of money, mirroring the incredible grace that God blesses us with, that master expected much upon his return, not just something, but much. The principle taught here does not just mean that we must literally double what God gives us with how much God graces us, but rather that we must seriously, earnestly, and zealously serve him to the best of our ability, because that's what the Lord wants from us. Not everyone, however, who has been graced by God grasps the enormity of the responsibility to do something with that grace. The why we have been graced: God loves us, God redeems us, God wants what's best for us, and so forth. That must prompt us to put the power of God's grace into good use in our lives. The third servant, the one talent man, failed to do that. He was not prepared either. All three of these illustrations, indeed all of Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25, emphasize the need for watchfulness, faithfulness, and readiness. Let's start our outline of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 4, Jesus introduces a new Kingdom of Heaven parable, the Virgin Parable, Part 1. The Kingdom of Heaven was like 10 virgins who took lamps and who went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of the virgins were wise, 5 of the virgins were foolish. The foolish virgins took their lamps, but they did not take any oil with them. The wise virgins took their lamps, and they took oil with them. While the bridegroom delayed, all of the virgins slept. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew 25. As we conclude, this reminder: to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.